pray. Lord Jesus, once again, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and study these things concerning your word this morning, Lord, and pray that you would join us this morning and open our hearts, show us those things that we have need of, that we might, in fact, come away better equipped to serve you. For we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So, apologize for my absence last week, given that I was supposed to be doing this for the month of April. I had to make a quick trip back out to Missouri for another funeral, I'm afraid. So, thanks for your patience on that. But I have another little piece of this thing this morning. I think we might have a little bit too much volume there, Brother Joshua. Can you bring me down just a touch? There you go. So this is another in the series of the signs of the times. I guess you shut me off altogether. Let's try that again. I think you shut me off altogether. I'm not convinced we actually need a mic in this room. But they're saying they want to record these things, so I think that's the reason we have a mic going at all. So there was, as I mentioned before several times, there are many parts of this series we call the signs of the times, but a piece of it was what I called current events, and one of those pieces of current events was, what about the good old U.S. of A.? Are there prophecies in the scriptures and or in the message concerning the USA? And of course, the answer is yes. So we have the next slide, please. So there are discussions on both the scriptures and the message concerning the US of A. And the subtitle, I think, of this particular piece today, I would call, "And He Spake as a Dragon." Next slide. This is Brother Branham in 1957. He says, "We're at the end time, you know that. There's an atomic bomb hanging yonder in Russia with your names on it." Okay, now, in this particular sermon, 1957, he was speaking in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, in Canada. But you're probably well aware that he made comments like this many times about the U.S. of A. as well, right? So we're supposed to be looking for that sort of thing. Next slide. So here is in 1954, Mark of the Beast. He says, "This United States is rotten to the core." That was 60 years ago. I'm going to submit it's rottener now, right? He said, "Yes, sir, I can prove to you the very time when this woman here back in Revelation 12, when her man-child was caught up to sit on God's throne, and when it did, the woman fled into the wilderness where she was taken care of for 1,203 score days, 3.5 years, right? To exactly the date of the Plymouth Rock, exactly where the church come over here for freedom of religion, and she established here." Now, we could do a whole nother study, if you will, on lining up these dates with some of these historical things where Brother Branham ties some of these things in the scriptures to the United States, right? But that's, for the purpose of this discussion today, we're talking about, what about the U.S. of A., right? He says, and we'll read on down in the 13th chapter of Revelations here, and I look here at the 15th verse, and now, just a minute, I want to go back before that, and we see here where that he was standing here by the seaside. If I can just find the place, 11th verse, he said, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, not out of water." Next slide. So, continuing there, he says, "It's out of the earth. Then the thickness and multitudes of people is water. Then this is where there was no people, the United States. And he had two horns like a lamb." It says, two horns like a lamb, not a lamb, right? It says, what is it? It's our American buffalo, sure. See, there he is, two horns like a lamb. Now, I never would have picked up on this myself, brothers and sisters, but he sees things that the rest of us don't see sometimes, right? So he says, he had freedom of religion first. He acted like a lamb, and he spoke like a lamb. But remember, he never did become an old ram. He was a lamb. This country is only 150 years old, a little older than that now. He says, you know, just a lamb. And then he spake like a dragon, and he exercised all of the power of the first beast had before him, the red dragon, which we know is Rome. That's another study as well, right? He says, and caused all that was on the earth that dwell upon the earth to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Look, and he does great wonders so to make him a fire come down out of heaven. the atomic bomb, hydrogen, smart, intelligent nation, and so forth, deceiving the nations by these things. I just thought I'd examine a few of those things today. Next slide. If you're not aware, this is the American buffalo, okay, and his two horns. And in fact, he sort of looks a little bit maybe kind of like an oversized version of a sheep who's been rolling in the mud or something. Next slide. So here's a scripture that Brother Branham is referring to in the Revelation, right? Revelation 13, 11 to 14. He says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all of the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." And for those of you who have read these messages, you know, this is, Brother Branham preaches many times on the business of this verse referring to the U.S. of A. 13th verse of the 13th chapter of Revelation. 13, 13, 13, U.S. is the number of the U.S. is 13, et cetera. You can do a whole study on that too if you like, but I'm trying to kind of focus it on one piece of this today. He says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live." So if you look at, it doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar, I don't think, to look back in fairly recent history of the United States. And during World War II, World War I, World War II, we were sort of seen as liberators around the world, kind of a good guys sort of a thing. Over time, that image has changed a good bit, right? From being the liberators who are coming in to save people to, I'll just say, the neighborhood bully, right? And he speaks great things, but he can do that because of his power to rain fire from the heavens, right? So, next slide. There we go. Brother Branham again says, "The word of the little lamb that rose up in Revelation 13, a lamb, probably a little horn, civil and ecclesiastical power." He preaches on that several times as well. Where he says, after his lamb, freedom of religion and so forth, but after a while he spake like a beast, like the dragon, and exercised all the power the dragon did before him, a bitter religious persecution. Now, some might argue with this, but I'm going to talk about that just a second here. It says, we're nearing that time. You remember, church, that you're living in the best day that you've ever will live in right now until Jesus comes. It shall gradually, and it corrects itself, says, not gradually, but rapidly get worse and worse. Okay? So this change in roles, if you will, of the U.S. of A. over the last several decades has in fact been sort of accompanied by this notion, if you will, that the other nations of the world sort of kind of ought to be like us, right? I mean, that's sort of the message we seem to like to portray, right? Whether you agree with this or not, you really ought to be like us, you know? So for some of you who work in the diplomatic corps, you might want to smack me around for some of that stuff, but I think that's what you see in the news, and I think that's the way some of the other nations see us, right? We're just sort of the neighborhood bully a lot of times, right? So, next slide. So, over the history, this is like World War II, Vietnam, and of course we developed the atomic bomb for Hiroshima and Nagasaki and so on and so forth. This is definitely fire raining from the heavens, right? I would just point out one thing, though. If you notice, this is a U.S. Air Force airplane, right? The Air Force seems to be the ones that cause all this trouble. But no. For those of you who don't know, I'm a Navy guy. So if I didn't tease my Air Force brethren, they think I'd gone to sleep and didn't like them anymore or something. So here's an Air Force airplane. But then there came, next slide, Desert Storm. Right, and the U.S. was trying to act like a liberator, and in fact, we were seen as a liberator for some of that. If you remember, Saddam invaded Kuwait, and Kuwait asked us to come help kick him back out again. Okay, that was actually the mission, and it was restricted just to that at that particular time, right? But we had Bush the senior, and General Schwarzkopf, and Saddam were sort of the main characters in this thing. But what I wanted to kind of share with you is a little bit about how the U.S. Presented themselves. Did I lose the mic again? Is that better? Okay. how the U.S. kind of presented themselves in what is called a psychological campaign. Next slide. For the military brethren here, you'll understand, you know what a psychological operation is. But basically, Air Force airplanes again. But basically, the purpose of a psychological operation is to try to change the hearts and mind of the populace, and in some cases, the opposing forces as well. And the intent really is to avoid having to shoot anybody, right? If you can get folks to surrender, then you win without killing anybody, right? So that's really sort of the main mission, and the way it's accomplished, one of the ways it's accomplished is with this thing we call a leaflet drop, where there's a message that's printed on a little piece of paper. It's about the size of a dollar bill. And usually there's a picture on one side and a written message on the other. And they fly over an area, in this case it'd be a civilian area, right? And they drop these leaflets out by the tens of thousands, and they just flutter to the ground. These people pick them up and read them. And the idea is to try to get the word directly to the populace rather than having to go through their government system, which obviously is opposing you, right? So you get to talk directly to the populace and tell them what you'd like to do, right? And if at all possible, if there happens to be troops there, get them to surrender so you don't have to actually go into open warfare, right? So next slide. This is an example of one. I used to carry one of these around with me as a souvenir from Desert Storm. And I don't know where it is today, but because Desert Storm's been a little while back. But here's a picture of an Air Force airplane swiking this guy, right? That bad things are going to happen, right, on the front. On the back, this is actually U.S. Marine Corps emblem, because we had Marines on the ground in this particular area where they were dropping them, right? And here's what the text says. It says, follow these procedures to cease resistance. Pull your ammunition magazine from your weapon. Put your weapon on your left shoulder and aim the barrel at the ground. Raise your hands over your head and walk slowly. Wave with a white cloth or raise this leaflet to show you're willing to surrender. All allied soldiers know this initiative shows that you're willing to surrender. Right? Again, the idea of trying to convince these folks to surrender rather than fighting. Right? Next slide. Here's another one. On the front, we got a picture of this bomb. It says, warning. This is to a civilian populace now. It says, this is only the beginning. This could have been a real bomb. We have no desire to harm innocent people, but Saddam is leading you to certain death and destruction. We want you to know the truth. Saddam is the cause. Yes, the multinational forces have the ability to strike anywhere and at any time. Warning. It says, the truth, on the backside, 8 years of war with Iran, 500,000 needless deaths, the victory's gone, now a generation in peril. A world united against Saddam. No bargaining with him. Don't allow him to be the reason for your annihilation. Don't let Saddam lead you to destruction. So we're asking the civilians now to sort of get the truth, get the message, right? Next slide. It's one of my favorite ones, I guess, because this is similar to the one I carried around. But again, the picture is an Air Force airplane about to swack this equipment, right? But a picture of a bomb here on the front, and it says, too late, your time is up. And on the back, it says, warning, this location or position will be bombed. Leave your equipment and save yourselves. Okay? So we're trying to get them to surrender, right? But the whole point of the discussion is about having some kind of compassion, I guess, in time of war, that we'd really rather not kill you, okay? Surrender and go on and live, right? And so, very, very effective tactic, by the way. Next slide. Because we had Iraqi soldiers surrendering by the battalions size, right? We would fly drones over the territory to kind of do battle damage assessment or see how things are going and so on and so forth. And when they would see one of those drones, they'd run up there with their leaflet trying to surrender to the drone, okay? I mean, by the droves. And it works great, okay, when done correctly. Next slide. And then this happened. I didn't know that I had the timer set up on this thing, but that's the Pentagon. So the tone changed a good bit after 9/11, right? And the entire U.S. of A, basically, and to a large measure, the rest of the world kind of joined in, right? Because this was an attack on U.S. soil, right? Unprovoked. And this became a very, very famous image there at one time, where General Colin Powell, then Secretary of State, is given a presentation before the United Nations Security Council, basically saying, we must go to war with Saddam. We must take away his chemical weapons. And what he's displaying there is a little vial with some powder in it that he's saying that it's less than a teaspoon of this powder, if it were dried anthrax, which is a weaponized chemical agent or biological agent, would kill bunches and bunches of people. It's my own opinion, and for what it's worth category, that the good general was not actually trying to deceive anybody at the time. If you listen to that entire testimony, which is on the web, by the way, if you want to hear it, what he's saying is that there have been like 14 resolutions out of the UN Security Council that tell Saddam to get rid of his chemical and biological weapons, okay, and he didn't do it. Various inspectors and outfits had been stood up to try to make him do that. He didn't do it. There was a time when he actually admitted or declared that he had something like 2,500, I think it was, or 25,000 liters of this anthrax, right? And he pledged to get rid of it, okay? But there has never been any verifiable evidence that he actually did that, okay? And so that was kind of the point that the general's trying to make here. We know he has had at least this much. We don't know how much he's made since that time. We have no evidence he's gotten rid of anything, okay? He won't let the inspectors come in. He played a couple of tapes during this presentation of some intercepted phone calls that they had taken between, we had intercepted between Iraqi generals and some of their troops, where the generals were trying to tell these guys to go hide everything, you know, get rid of it and don't let the inspectors see it, stuff like that. So there was pretty decent evidence, I suppose, that Saddam was in fact trying to hide things rather than stepping up to the plate and have the inspectors come in and verify that he had in fact disposed of this stuff properly, okay? That was sort of the message that the general was trying to put out there. But then when we got there, of course, we didn't find anything. All these people going there, but it's like 8 or 9 months later, right, when we actually show up. He's had plenty of time to hide or get or move the stuff that he wanted to some other location, right? And since they didn't find anything, the world basically condemned General Powell as a liar, right? And the United States of America stands condemned to this day of having deceived the whole world into going to war with Iraq on false information that General Powell put out here at this particular UN Security Council meeting. You can't necessarily prove or disprove that based on the evidence that's available to the public. there's lots of information on the classified side that we don't have, that we're not privy to, right? But the fact of the matter is that the United States of America is seen, because of this event, as a deceiver for the world, because he sat before those folks and said he's got this huge stockpile of anthrax, okay? And when all of the bubbles went in to find it, we didn't find anything, okay? So, next slide. So that gives rise to Operation Iraqi Freedom, all right? Began in March of 2003, officially ended in December 2011, but as we all know, we still have troops over there today. I think a lot of folks would tell you it really didn't end. But they declared victory in 2011 and claimed that operation had basically been successful and was shut down. In fact, the stated cause there was to get rid of the Taliban, okay? The real cause, really, I think, was this guy, which they finally did get him, right? So, next slide. But I wanted to show you the difference. Remember the leaflets that were dropped during Desert Storm, right, and the message that was put out. I'm going to show you some that were dropped during Iraqi Freedom, okay, and sort of the change in tone. This is actually a news report from CNN, and this is a copy of the front of one of those leaflets that was dropped in Iraqi Freedom. But it says the Pentagon is sending radio broadcasts to Afghanistan telling the Taliban they're condemned, and the messages seem to suggest that U.S. troops will eventually be on the ground in that country. This is just before we send people over there, okay, for Iraqi freedom, anyway, right? And in fact, these radio broadcasts are coming from another Air Force airplane. There's another type of psychological operation where you actually put a broadcast station inside an airplane, fly over the area, and you broadcast messages to whoever will listen, right? And so it's actually a voice message. So that's another type. What we're talking about today are these leaflets, but the same message basically is being presented via both media, right? Next slide. Here's the text. Attention Taliban, you are condemned. Did you know that? The instant the terrorists you support took over our planes, you sentenced yourselves to death. The armed forces of the United States are here to seek justice for our dead. Highly trained soldiers are coming to shut down once and for all Osama bin Laden's ring of terrorism and the Taliban that supports them in their actions. We're not trying to keep from killing anybody here, right? This is revenge, right? And I think we're being pretty clear about it. Next slide. It goes on to say, our forces are armed with state-of-the-art military equipment. What are you using, obsolete and ineffective weaponry? Sound like the neighborhood bully? Our helicopters will rain fire down upon your camps before you detect them on your radar. I'm going to submit there's a little bit of prophecy being fulfilled there, perhaps, right? Our bombs are so accurate, we can drop them right through your windows. Our infantry is trained for any climate and terrain on Earth. The United States soldiers fire with superior marksmanship and are armed with superior weapons. Notice, we're just talking about the United States here. This is not a coalition we're talking about, right? In Desert Storm, we talked about allied forces. Allied forces know how to recognize a surrender. Please to do that so nobody gets hurt, okay? We ain't talking about allied forces here. We're talking about the United States of America, okay? We're coming to thump you, okay? Get ready. Next slide. And that gave rise to this phrase, which was shock and awe when we started that campaign. And in fact, there was a lot of firepower that was poured down in the area, raining fire from the heavens in a big way. Okay, next slide. The helicopters will rain fire down upon your camps, as promised. They in fact did that. Next slide. And of course, an Air Force F-16 is dropping bombs that are so accurate they come right through your windows. Okay. Some of the Air Force are probably proud of all that. And the United States soldiers fire with superior marksmanship. The sniping business in Afghanistan, in Iraq, has kind of been taken to new levels. It kind of started back in Vietnam. As sort of a force multiplication, sort of a capability. Nowadays, if I'm not mistaken, the record for the longest distance shot nowadays is shared actually by a Canadian and an Australian at 2,300 meters, which is almost a mile and a half. Okay, so these guys are in fact pretty decent. Those weren't even United States guys. And of course, go ahead. Wow. This is going much faster now. I'm going to get done early today, I'm afraid, folks. Maybe we can have some questions or something. But you know about this in the news here most recently, right? That our good North Korean leader was developing intercontinental ballistic missiles and nuclear warheads to put on them and kind of had everybody on edge, right? And what was our leadership's response? Next slide. He will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen, okay? I'm going to submit he's fake like a dragon. It's not the first time, you know? But you might say, well, Brother Kim, have you seen the news? I mean, North Korea said they're going to stand down, right? Next slide. In fact, they did say, like yesterday or the day before, that they're actually going to suspend their nuclear development program and their ICBM program. Okay, in preparation for the talks with Trump that are coming up in the next month or so, right? And I'm going to say that's goodness, right? I mean, whether you like the administration or not, I think they get some kudos, I guess, for helping to get it to this state, right? This is a positive thing. However, I would say let us not take our eye off the ball, because Brother Branham said it was Russia that was going to nuke us. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, we've speculated from time to time that these guys got their technology from Russia and China, right? If they decided that they were going to nuke us, you might say that prophecy is fulfilled by proxy or something like that, right? What Brother Branham said was Russia, right? So, next slide. This is Thursday from the Digital Journal. It says, U.S. and Russian nuclear shift is dangerous as a North Korean threat. This outfit, ICANN, says, a recent shift in nuclear weapons policies in the United States and Russia involving upgrades, modernization, and growing arsenals is as dangerous as North Korea's nuclear threat. Campaigners warned on Thursday. This lady, Beatrice Finn, heads up this international campaign to abolish nuclear weapons. She hailed an upcoming summit between the United States and North Korea in what Washington hopes will persuade Pyongyang to abandon its nuclear ambitions. I don't know if you've ever heard of these folks before, but last year they got the Nobel Peace Prize for their efforts to ban nuclear weapons and reduce proliferation and that kind of business, right? So they're sort of famous around the world. Says, but she said there needed to be more focus on the dangers posed by the United States and other traditional nuclear-armed states, which have recently engaged in dangerous escalatory activities. Says the new nuclear policies from the United States and Russia that increase the arsenals and create new types of more usable nuclear weapons, these are very dangerous changes, she told journalists in Geneva. And I think they're equally dangerous as North Korea's nuclear threats. If you've been following any of that stuff in the news, but there's been a fair amount of rhetoric, shall we say, on that business as well. Next slide. We'll talk about that in a second. She says five of the world's nine nuclear-armed states, Britain, China, France, Russia, and the United States, are parties to the Non-Nuclear Proliferation Treaty, or the NPT, which will be the subject of a preliminary review in Geneva next week. So this coming week, this treaty, which supposedly has kept all these bubbas in check in nuclear warfare for years, is being reviewed. Okay, I don't see like front page news on that, right? But it's happening. So these folks are getting back together to talk about to what extent they're still going to limit themselves by treaty on the proliferation of nuclear weapons, right? This Ms. Finn says that they were clearly not respecting their commitments under the treaty and were all engaged in modernizing their arsenals and making nuclear weapons a more central part of their defense strategies. So again, I don't know if you've seen this stuff in the news, but very shortly after Trump took office, he basically says our nuclear arsenal is getting old and worn out and dilapidated, and we're going to modernize it, right? So this treaty particularly limits each of these countries to a certain number of warheads, basically. It doesn't limit them on upgrading them so we can deliver them better. It doesn't limit them on upgrading them so that they're more powerful. Right, so if I have 10 1960s vintage warheads today, and I upgrade them to 10 2018 vintage warheads today, that's not forbidden under the treaty. Okay, because I still have the same number. In addition, the treaty is pretty much focused on the long-range intercontinental ballistic, you know, Hiroshima, Nagasaki type of weapon, right? But technology has allowed us to get these things down to a briefcase size. What the military sometimes calls the tactical nuke, right? And this treaty doesn't limit those, okay? So Trump basically said, we're gonna take all these aging systems, I'm gonna give them like new rocket motors and new guidance systems and more powerful warheads and fresh coat of paint, whatever, right? And but I'm gonna keep the same number, but now I can destroy 10 worlds instead of one or something, right? Well. So you saw Russia come back almost instantaneously. Anybody remember what Russia said? Huh? Mr. Putin went on the news, world news, in front of his Congress saying, oh yeah, we got this new hypersonic missile. Okay, we can shoot from a submarine. And it'll get there before you can detect it. And it's nuclear capable. And nanny nanny boo boo, you know, one up on you, right? So it's already started, okay? Some are complaining that we have restarted the arms race, okay? Well, it might be true, okay? So these things are being discussed even this week. And We've had threats, direct threats from North Korea, of course, that they want to use these weapons, all right? We've had these sort of veiled threats from Russia that he's ready, willing, and able to shoot the United States, okay, if the good Mr. Trump gets out of hand, right? So it's still sort of teetering there on the edge, right? So next slide. Brother Branham said, it will not gradually but rapidly get worse and worse, okay? And I think it's happening right before our eyes. Next slide. That may be what we're looking forward to. But hopefully, I mean, according to Brother Branham, we'll also be gone before this happens, right? So they start throwing those kinds of toys around, we'll already be gone, okay? So that's what I have for today. I'm sorry I finished up a little early. I didn't realize I was going to walk through quite that quickly. But any questions on that stuff? We can chat about it if you want. You can ask the Air Force guys why it's always their problem. Yeah, the Navy has dropped a bomb or two in the past. I'll take credit for that. But, sir. That's sort of the plan, yeah. There's another piece of this. Some of the folks who are graduates of my young people's class can probably teach this for you, right? But there's another piece of it that that we did. It was basically entitled something like, is this the fire from Armageddon or something like, is this the fire that's going to cleanse the earth, right? And so we talked about that at some length. My own opinion is that that's not it, simply because when God cleanses the earth before we go into the millennium and stuff like that, I personally think that he's not going to use man's toys to do that. That's sort of his thing, and he's got his own plan for that. And I put forth some ideas, and they're one of which is a coronal mass ejection from the sun. Those happen all the time. Okay, no reason we haven't been fried already is we haven't actually gone through one. But this stuff kind of squirts out from the sun all the time. It's like a huge volcanic eruption. And it goes way out into outer space. It goes way past us. That's what the aurora borealis is, by the way, is those things get a glancing blow on our planet. But if we ever took a direct hit from one, it's been estimated that the surface temperature of the Earth would be raised to 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, and everything basically fries. Remember, the Bible says when that happens that there'll be no more sea, right? So, my own opinion now, I'm giving you opinion, okay, that I don't think man's toys are going to dry up the sea, okay? We can put all these things out that we want to, but I don't think we're going to dry up the sea. I think God's going to do all of that.
As the scripture also says in Isaiah, we will be able to, after these things happen, we'll be able to see the ruins of these nations.
We walk out on the ashes.
Basically, yeah. So there will be witnesses here to witness these great nations basically come down.
Certainly, witness, are you talking about?
Basically, if once the Gentile days are over here, just before this destruction sets in here and the rapture takes place, the remnants here will be the ones to basically see the ruins of these nations.
We have ministers here who may have a more learned opinion than I on that, but I think the answer is yes.
Well, you talk about nuclear destruction. For sure, I don't think anybody is going to survive that thing. We just have the bride. We don't have to be here. The rapture, we already take place.
Yeah. I
Right. But now I know that when what I'm trying to say is that let us not try to put any interpretation to that. When it comes to questions like that, Brother Bram, just say, get yourself ready. But none of us, I've been studying a lot of things, and what I noticed that when it comes to maybe questions like that, Brother Bram, to make sure you don't put interpretation to it. And yet yesterday I listened to a man, he said, the minute you put your interpretation to it, for sure you go wrong. he said, what you got to do, just prepare yourself, be ready. If there's only one person leaving, that's you. That's all what you do.
I would even add to that. I usually close these things. Some of you have seen it before. I close these things with the quotation in Luke, where it says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your, look up. Lift up your hip, for your redemption draws nigh. Okay? So that was kind of the purpose of this discussion is, are we seeing these things come to pass or not? If we are, the scripture says, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Okay? So, go ahead. I
have questions, but again, like you said, I believe biblical questions have biblical answers. And I believe that there are answers there to all these questions. And the message is really deep. And I think we need to really look into it.
Yeah.
So I will stop here. I can have a third question out of the answer you gave and a fourth one, but I will stop here.
Well, I didn't finish answering your first question.
Oh, okay.
Which was, if you look back in the history books, the destruction was caused at Hiroshima and Nagasaki during the first A-bomb. Okay, it leveled entire cities, one bomb, entire cities. Today's capability, all we can say in this form, is much more powerful than that. I will say, I think some of the ways that Brother Branham described it back in the 60s were probably a little bit of an overstatement back then. But he was trying to make a statement, right? I mean, he talked about it being destruction for 150 miles square and, 300 feet deep and so on and so forth. I don't know who actually would come up with numbers like that. But the point is, what we use today, much more powerful than what was used in World War II. Much. And multiple warheads on a single missile, right? So, yes, lots of destruction. And I think it's on a scale we can't even imagine. Sir, please.
There's a lot of difficult questions that we can drill down into a little bit. I think if we have a hard question, I think it's good if we write it down, and then we can take a look at it as ministers, and then we can study it, and then we can give a good, strong answer for that. Because right now we have some things that are going through our minds, but I think it's better for you all if you give just a very well-studied answer. So if you have questions regarding this, I would request that you just submit that. You're probably in the box.
There's also several other pieces of this with other information. I wouldn't mind bouncing off of the ministers as well, because the idea in the young people's class was just sort of generate discussion, right? And so to the extent that they would actually have some dialogue with, if we would kind of discuss these things in the room when they would, and I would go away with the question and try to study up on that and bring it back the next time. That's why it took a year to do this stuff, right? But I would encourage that as well, as Brother Tim is saying. Questions like this are things that we probably should have some sort of a dialogue about. You know, like I say, we have ministers who probably have more learned opinions on some of these things that can dig deep in those things as well. So, any other questions? I don't mean to scare anybody.
I since we're talking about question, and this is just to help every one of us. One of the reasons why you see many people are falling off, the reason why I said that let us get ready, is not that I'm trying to encourage to dodge questions. One of the main reasons why you see many people today are falling off of the message and going, they're trying to read many things in the message, trying to compare things going here and there, and they're not seeing that things are not coming together because we can't understand the plan of God. Like, for instance, is this a cleansing, total cleansing? Is this people begin to put interpretation, and people begin now to come say, well, the prophet didn't say this, is going, and then it begins to be clash, and people say, well, he's a false prophet and things like that, and it creates a lot of confusion. But what did the prophet say at the end, and what Jesus said, when you see, like brother said, when you see these things happen, what's going to happen? Who is here? Who is not there? That shouldn't be the desperation question. The desperation question is that when the rapture happens, am I going?
Yep, yep, absolutely.
That's the reason why, because of the confusion. It creates more confusion. It's not I'm trying to dodge the question, and please understand me, but what it's been doing to people in the message, trying to understand certain that Abraham said, especially time, things, physical, while many things are in the domain of God, like things like California and things like that. And that's why I say, you know what? All what we got to do, get desperate, get the Holy Ghost, be filled the Holy Ghost, get a new birth, make sure that if Christ comes now, I'm going. What happened? That's his business.
Because I would agree once again that one of the reasons this series even started, back now quite a long time ago, with a different batch of young people. These folks were probably still in the nursery when that first happened, right? But one of the reasons it first started was the question was raised by one of the young people. Said, well, if all this stuff is going to happen tomorrow, why should I even plan a future? You know? I mean, why should I worry about getting married? Why should I worry about going to college? Why should I even go to work tomorrow? You know? So that was sort of how we first started the whole thing. And if you go back and study, as Brother Marcel is saying, the way Brother Branham presented this stuff, I really like the way he summed it up when some folks were trying to press him on that question. He basically says, plan like it's going to be 100 years from now. Live like it's going to be tomorrow.
Amen.
Okay? And if you can accomplish that, you don't have to worry about any of this stuff. Right? But it is kind of an interesting thing, I think, to watch the signs of the times, because the Bible told us to watch.
Yes.
You know, we're supposed to watch. And when you see these things happening, look up. That's the whole purpose of this study. Amen. Sir.
It was about the teaching. The whole world, everybody has whatever they say in the Bible. But because where we didn't get the right teaching about marriage and divorce, that is why everybody was messing up.
Mm-hmm.
So this teaching that we are getting here is helping us. Mm-hmm. Because even in Ghana, we don't even get, I was in Ghana, I'm almost 30 years in message. I came here to learn a lot of things that I didn't know. So whatever they are teaching us here, like Brother Ken is teaching us, is very amazing. All the teachings that we are getting here is really amazing for us. So sometimes if you don't get the right teaching, like I said when I was in Ghana, I didn't get all this. So we need it. But my point is, like Brother Brown was saying about marriage and divorce, he insisted that this is my people. This is my people that I want them to know. Teach all your children. Let your children know. Why he's saying that? He's saying that this message is not for anybody outside. It's for the special people. Mm-hmm. So we are glad to get this, to know all this. I don't think that some people that they don't get this. If you don't want to go to heaven, or if you are not going, you will see. God will never show you all these things. See, and I'm glad that we are getting all this information that to help us. So I hope that. For me, I don't want to get stopped. Abraham said, even don't miss Sunday school. Don't miss it. So appreciate that for all that is going on.
Well, thank you, sir. Yeah. That was kind of another point of the thing, is that what does it mean to watch? How do I do that? I mean, how do you know what to look for?
Exactly.
Right? So the way you do it, we heard it from the pulpit now from various ministers now here over the last several months, even recently. You need to read your Bible and pray every day. You need to listen to this message, you know, because that's how you figure out what you're supposed to be looking for. And then when you see it, look up. Okay? That's sort of the whole story, right? So I appreciate the discussion. Sorry this one was a little shorter than I thought it was going to be, but I appreciate the dialogue. I personally prefer the interactive class, so just for future reference, I suppose, if you want to chat or something, I'm certainly open to that. So I think we're out of time, though, this morning. So let us stand. We'll pray. Brother Kennedy, would you close us this morning, please?
That's why you counted us worthy, O Father, to come and know all these, this mystery, O Father. And Lord, these mysteries is what is setting the bride free. And Lord, we can see that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for using our precious brother here to bring these things to us. And Lord, we thank you for the body of ministers that you're also feeding the sheep with, oh Father. May you continue to prosper every ministry in this house and the laity also, Father. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless the instrumentalist, everyone, and today's occasions are all in your hands, Father. May we dig deeper into your word. May we learn to love and to be loved by others also. We pray and thank you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.